Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so glad you are here because I have Jim T. Waltz, a certified financial planner with EPS Wealth Management, and we're talking about the market. So what do you need to know about the market? Well, I'm going to tell you, or Jim's going to tell you really, on today's episode. So please like, share, and subscribe. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com, click the donate button, and donate whatever you feel you can donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I always add more content, so join me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, so find me there. But hey, it's the holiday season, and Beloved Cheesecakes is where you could go to get your next holiday dessert. So go to BelovedCheesecakes.com, and when you use promo code Amber, you're going to save some money at checkout. That's BelovedCheesecakes.com. Use promo code Amber at checkout. Well, without any further ado, Jim T. Walt joining us right now. Another episode of the Amber May Show. I told you I would have Jim T. Walt. He always gives us some financial advice and or teaches us about financial tools that are available to us. So welcome back, Jim, to the program.
Well, thank you, Amber. It's always great to be here, especially on a Monday morning. So it's a new week. It's a new day, and it's a new chance for the for you to trust the Lord and see what happens in your finances.
Exactly. So, you know, I want to know what is happening in the market. Part of your job as a financial planner is you have to look at what is happening in the market so you can make some good choices for your clients. Do you continue to purchase those stocks or do you decide now is the time to sell? So I'd like to know what have you been seeing happening in the marketplace?
Well, I'm going to answer that question, but I'm going to ask you a quick question first and a question for our listeners as well. Who do you listen to for financial advice? Who's your favorite guru? Who do you turn into? Who do you listen to?
Well, you know the answer to that.
You cannot answer that question if you want.
No, it's you and you know it.
So
you are my financial guy. You've been in the business for over 40 years in the financial world. I've seen you over the years. I look at you as someone that gives really good advice. That's why I like to ask you questions. I feel good about coming to you because I know if I need advice, you're going to give me good, solid information. So you're the one I come to. But a lot of people look at Dave Ramsey because a lot of people are really high in debt and they look to him to help them get out of debt and debt strategy. So just FYI, if you have a high credit card balance or you have multiple credit card balances and you're looking at the best way to get out of debt, I have a debt calculator on my website that you can use to show you strategically what to pay for first. And you can go to theambermayshow.com and look at the debt calculator, the debt reduction calculator at theambermayshow.com.
Great idea. That idea has been around for a long time. Dave Ramsey made it famous. But it's a great way to accelerate getting out of debt. So I'm going to put in a quick plug for the person that I listen to for financial advice. Actually, he's pretty wise. He's been around for like forever. And that's the Lord. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're a believer, or even more so if you're not a believer, to look to the Bible. Most of the good advice in the financial world that comes from there anyhow. So go straight to the source. And then, you know, obviously use people like, you know, if you're trying to get out of debt, use the Dave Ramsey's got some great ideas for how to do that. Look around, get, get advice, but think through the advice that you're getting. So what I find is that in order to be successful financially, there's a couple things that you just have to do. And I'll again throw in this quick advertisement here, but first of all, and this is kind of obvious, spend less than you earn or earn more than you spend. Now you would say, Jim, well, that's the same thing, isn't it? No, it's not. If you are a spend less than you earn person, you could actually have a what's called a poverty mentality. In other words, your whole focus could be, how could I spend less? How could I buy this cheaper? And I have a saying that I like to say, I can't afford to buy cheap, because cheap often does not last. I had a friend of mine years ago said that, Jim, it only costs 25% more to go first class. And you will love that. So, but obviously, you want to look at your spending and your earning. If you focus on spending less, you could have the poverty mentality. If you just focus on earning more, you could get greedy. So the key is to have a balance. Look at your spending and also look at ways that you can increase your earning. I'm writing a book right now. It should be done pretty soon. It's called The Magic of And. It's how to do things that seem to be opposite, but actually go together, like spending less and earning more seem to be opposites, but really they go together very, very well. So one of the first things I would suggest you do today, if you're a listener and if you are struggling with your finances, there's a verse in the Bible that says, know the condition of your flocks and herds. Well, most of us don't have flocks and herds anymore, but we do have finances. And that verse is applicable to your bank accounts and your investment accounts, as well as it is to woolies and cows. So, but
what does that mean? What does that verse mean?
What does that verse mean? Well, it had to do with knowing the condition of your flocks and your herds. How many sheep did you have? How many cattle do you have? What kind of condition are they in? Are they well-fed and healthy? Are they just getting by? It's kind of knowing where you are at financially. And that just involves us slowing down, turning off the television set for a couple of hours, and taking a look at what's happening in our finances. Amber, I hate the term budget. I love spending plan much more. But
like spending plans more than budget plans. Yes, any day I'd get a spending plan.
So you really want to take a look and see where things are at. And if you do that, I'm not going to tell you don't go to your favorite coffee place just because they increased the cost for their smallest cup now just went over $6. I'm not going to say who they are, but if you go there, you'll know. But I'm not going to tell you to go there or don't go there, but you have to look at what you're doing, what you have coming in the way of income and what you are spending. And you have to look at that and make your own hard decisions. Are you happy with what you're doing? Are you not? That's the best way to get started. But you did ask me a question about the economy and the markets right now. So I'm going to give you a quick update. Let's see. Now, the economy and the markets are facing some headwinds right now. Inflation, and we just talked about that a little bit before we started the show. Though it's down considerably from a year ago, it still remains too high, according to the Federal Reserve. And the Fed's way of fighting inflation is to raise interest rates. It just slows down the production and the flow of money. So the concern is they may deliver another hike in the coming months. Right now, they have called a truce, so to speak. And because of that and a couple of other factors, which I'll address in a moment, we had 5 days of increase in the stock market last week. That is probably not going to happen again in the near future. So if you are using that as a barometer of whether to jump in or not jump in, hold on for a couple minutes before you make a move. So bond yields are at multi-decade highs. We've had incredibly low interest rates for, probably 300-year lows in interest rates. And now interest rates popped up suddenly this past year, very, very quickly, by the way, which is something I did not expect, because the government has a lot of debt out there, and I didn't think that they would want to raise interest rates on it. But They did.
Well, let's talk about that for a second. So the people that maybe not as familiar with how economy works, why does that matter? Why does it matter how quickly or how slowly the Fed raises rates, and how does that affect the debt?
Well, if the Fed raises rates, I'll show you one area, housing. What happened with mortgage rates when they suddenly shot up from 2.5, 2.75, 3% up to 5, 6, 7%? Suddenly, the price of houses went down. Here in Arizona, we have a lot of cash buyers that come in from other states. They sell their homes. They come here. They can buy, 1.5 to 2 times or 3 times the home here that they might have had if they were in California before coming over. But for the buyers that are not cash buyers, for the people that are just buying their first home and they can't plunk down $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000, a raise in interest rates that rapidly just was like hitting the market with a hammer. The price of houses went down quickly. The price of mortgages went up, and it just stopped some would-be buyers in their tracks. So that when prices come down, when we begin to see recessionary evidences, and people get excited about that. Basically, the economy is either, from a simplicity standpoint, it's either going up or it's going down. And people that are betting on the outcome are either anticipating it's going to go up or anticipating it's going to go down. And if you look at the stock market, it really moves more on anticipation than it does on reality. A couple of years ago, Dell Computers had a great quarter. Their earnings actually increased by 34% over a year, quarter over quarter from the previous year. The price of the stock went down. You would think a 34% increase in revenues. Why would the stock go down? Well, the people in the market had anticipated that that gain would be 36%, and when it was only 34%, prices went down. So you can invest in that. I just don't like to invest that way. And we talk about this a lot, Amber. I like a strategy that can work for you, whether the market is up or down. I like a long-term look more than I like the short-term, because for me, the short-term is like a sports game, especially football, where the defense shows you a lot of looks, and they're trying to fake you. They're trying to get in your head. They're trying to get you to do things that you would not normally want to do. That is the stock market on many days of the week. So it's good to have a strategy that you can believe in, that you can go into and stay the course, regardless of the crazy things that the market is doing or the crazy things our government is doing.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Are you feeling chronically fatigued? Are you overweight? Just feel off, like your body just feels off? It could be a hormone imbalance. And when you go visit Dr. Meehan at meehanmd.com and set up a telemed appointment, he can work with you, because he is specialized in hormone therapy. So go check him out if you are feeling sluggish, fatigued, overweight, and just don't feel yourself. Give him a call and find him at meehanmd.com. That's Meehan, M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, md.com. And when you're there, also let him know Amber May sent you. You can also check out his supplemental store. He has amazing supplements. Whether you're supporting the immune system, your gut health, just your overall health in general, check out his supplement line, and you can get a discount when you use promo code Amber at checkout. So if you're looking for a doctor you can trust, if you just feel off and want to check to see are your hormones the way where they should be, check out Meehan at M-E-E-H-A-N as in Nancy, MD.com, MeehanMD.com, and let them know Amber May sent you.
Hey there, I'm Darren.
And I'm Randy.
We're from Patriots with Grit, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Check it out.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20. Maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like them to have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So both of them do crazy.
Most of us, we have no knowledge on the stocks. When we have to go pick our 401k for our retirement, we are like a deer in the headlights. We're like just taking our best guess because there's no financial advisor sitting with us at our employer's office trying to tell us which one to go for. So a lot of times it's like a shot in the dark. Like, I'm just going to throw a dart and whatever the dart hits, that's what I'm investing in. And right. Because we don't understand different strategies on the stock market, then we are that type of player that you just talked about, where when the market goes down, like we freak out because, shoot, like we want our income, our investment to grow. And it's freaky to see our investment just go down and we lose money on paper, so to speak. We lose money on paper because we don't have this strategy that you're talking about, because it's just a growth only strategy, not an income producing strategy. So this is why it's so good to talk to a financial planner, because he can talk you through some investment strategies. And like he said, we're going to have down markets, but we're also going to have up markets. It's not always going to be down. It's not always going to be up. And we have to be able to weather the storm with different strategies. And so I like what you said there, because most of us are just that growth mentality. We just see it decline and we're like, oh crap. And sometimes it seems like it declines more than it rises with certain, at least I've noticed with certain administrations that are in office, I've seen it stay lower than rise. So that's something that people also, especially if the administration's 8 years and you're seeing more down times than up times, like how do we deal with that as investors?
Well, I think we have to have a strategy. I like the strategy that works whether the market is up or down. And I talk about this a lot. In fact, I think sometimes people wish I would just, you know, close my mouth. But of course, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, if you've been around in the market for 100 years or so, like I have, not quite that bad, but it's been a while, you get to see things. And very honestly, when we went through the COVID crisis and the market dropped in March, I think of 2020, about 30% in 1 month, very honestly, I was just as whacked out as the rest of you. So, but the one thing that did happen to me during that period of time was I was praying about it, you know, and I do that. And I just seemed to, you know, hear from the Lord, I got this. Do not make any knee-jerk reactions. So, you know, they say if you talk to God, you're crazy. If you hear from him, you're even crazier. But
yes.
I'll admit to that. But I have to say that was good advice. And it just caused me at that point to take my finger off the mouse button and not click the sell button, which I was tempted to do because I did not know which stocks were going to be able to continue to pay their dividends in the future. Things were changing so rapidly. If you were in real estate, well, everybody knew that with COVID, if you're at home, you can't go to work. You're not going to make your mortgage payments. So that's no good. Nobody's mm-hmm. going to the mall and buying anything. So if you have mall real estate in your investments, that's certainly no good. If you own office buildings, which traditionally are a pretty good place to, you know, have your money, well, nobody's going to work. Everybody's working from home. So that's not going to be any good. Unless you have a drive-through at the restaurant, nobody's going out, to eat anything. So the whole economy at that point was in a state of flux where nobody really knew how things were going to settle out. But, over the years, that happens periodically, and good companies generally find a way to make money. Restaurants that have the drive-through, I'm trying to avoid mentioning any names here, but the restaurants that have the drive-through started to do very, very well because nobody wanted to go in and eat, but everybody still wanted to, get the takeout food. So those companies did very, very well. So let's talk about a couple other things that are, because I know some of our listeners are going to say, well, what about the Ukraine? What about Israel? All of those things, impact the economy, to be sure. But if you go to your favorite burger joint for lunch, you generally go whether they're fighting in the Ukraine or in Israel or not. Maybe you didn't go the day after that horrible event happened over there at the concert. But, basically, companies that have products and services that people want, they're going to continue to do well even when the economy is down. But that's just some of the things that are going on. So let's take a look at a couple of positives in the economy right now. Here's some positives. First of all, the U.S. economy expanded at a 4.9% pace in the third quarter of this year. That's the fastest in the last 2 years. Wow. It looks like the UAW, the United Auto Workers strike, is going to get resolved. There's going to be some pretty hefty increases in wages between 33% and 89% is what I saw. But evidently there were some disparities there that have gone on for a long time that just needed to be corrected. However, whenever wages go up, it's pretty likely that inflation is going to go up. So the very thing that we're complaining about, inflation, has causes, and everybody wants to make more money. I get it. I do. You do. Everybody else does too. But if you make more money for doing the same work, that means that the price of whatever the goods and services are that you are creating are probably going to go up unless the companies can find some efficiencies for making things less expensively.
You talked about the workers union and you talked about inflation. Like in the 90s, the average sale of a car was like $15,000. Today, yes. It's at least $30,000.
I can remember automobiles when I was a kid being around $2,500 to $3,400. So,
wow.
Like I say, I've lived a long time. But, that's inflation. That's just a fact of life. Like I say, everybody wants to earn more, but sometimes people don't think it all the way through and say, our first house cost $19,000. Mm. Now, obviously, we made a lot less money then, but if you looked at the relationship between what we were earning and what we could buy with it, it was a far better relationship than it is today. Because, a house today, like the one that we purchased back then, or my wife purchased back then, today, that same house would be $250,000, $300,000. So it's we just try to get people to think about what's really going on in the economy and plan accordingly. Some of these things we can't stop. We just have to find out a way to position ourselves to take advantage of them or not to be too badly hurt by them when they do come along. So I don't like to take a short-term look. If you look at short-term, you can get knocked off track, and there's plenty of There's plenty of information out there. You sent me one here just recently. Is the banking system mm-hmm. going to collapse? Well, heck, I don't know the answer to that question. It may or may not. I don't know. But I'm not going to live my life today as if it's going to. That would be mm-hmm. horrible. There's a thing that people like to do today. I call it rehearsing a catastrophe. And the Bible it just says, hey, don't do that. Have no anxiety about anything. And it talks about thinking about good things, not thinking about bad things. Because if you think about bad things, it renders you ineffective. If you become ineffective, mm-hmm. you can't be productive. If you're not productive, you're not going to make any money. And you'll be your own self-fulfilling prophecy. So let's not do that.
That's a good point.
Okay, another good news here. Finally, the House of Representatives got a speaker.
Yay!
I thought they were going to do man on the street and find one, but they did get a speaker, and I like the person that they chose, and I like what he said about that whole thing. He relied on prayer and not politics, mm-hmm. and I think he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders, and seems to be able to talk with people on both sides of the aisle. And Lord knows the country needs that today. So here's another bit of good news. I'll bet you didn't even think of this one. Average American households are in great shape. Now, that's not what we hear on the internet. We hear, we hear the negative. I am not even going to go into details. But the average family income rose from 2019 to 2022 about 15%.
Wow.
The median net worth of households rose 37% over the last three-year period. That's the biggest three-year gain in net worth in at least four decades. And for those of you that are not math majors, four decades is 40 years. So wow. Biggest gain over a three-year period in the last 40 years. That's good news. Home ownership is up despite the increase in interest rates and the mortgage business taking a punch to the solar plexus. Mm-hmm. Home ownership is up, and the economy continues to generate new jobs at an astounding rate. 336 new jobs in September and more than 2.3 million so far this year. So I think the biggest problem that we're having in the job market these days is people want a job, a J-O-B, but they don't want to W-O-R-K. And
the four-letter word.
work is a four-letter word. Yeah, that's for sure. And that feels good for a while. It feels good until things collapse, and then when things collapse, it doesn't feel good. So,
right.
You know, when it comes to working for a living, they say if you find something that you really enjoy doing, you never go to work. If you love your job, you never go to work. So, I would encourage you. And I know it's tough out there right now. To find a job for many of you. But if you do get into a position, work hard at it. You'll actually find that there's some fun to that. There's really, there's not as much fun as it just, getting the job and then either taking off physically or mentally. That's not good. That's not good for the economy. It never works in the long haul. It always creates problems. And there's one thing about problems, they're easier to create and they take a longer time and a lot more effort to solve. So I'm getting off that soapbox. The Fed has left its target date rate unchanged this week, five whole days, and doesn't meet again on interest rates until mid-December. So we can breathe a sigh of relief.
Which means for right now, interest rates are going up or down, they're staying the same, right?
Yes, staying the same until mid-December. And then third quarter earnings, and this is my favorite. This is something that if you're an investor, you need to focus on this. You need to know about this. Third quarter earnings have been solid thus far. More than half of the S&P 500 companies have reported earnings for the quarter, and almost 8 in 10 of those reported earnings are above estimates. Above estimates. Wow. In other words, The pros out there are thinking that earnings are going to go up, but they're beating the estimates. When they beat the estimates, stock prices go up. So that's above the 5 and 10 year averages. And we're now seeing the first year, year over year earnings growth since the third quarter of 2022. Year over year means more earnings this year at the same time of the year than we had in the previous year at this time. So we remain optimistic, even though we acknowledge that wars, energy prices, and the Fed have markets on edge, and there's always going to be bad news out there that you can glom onto. And that'll continue to be the case in the near term, and honestly, in the long term as well. That kind of news just never goes away. So in October, the S&P gained 5.85% for the week last week. It closed at 43.58.33, if you really care. But for most of us, it was five straight days of gains. The first time that that has happened since November of 2021. Wow. NASDAQ and the Dow had their best weekly performances of 2023. And thanks to the Fed's decision to hold interest rates steady and Jerome Powell's remarks, which were perceived as dovish, there was a rally in bonds and a positive non-farm payrolls report. So I'm going to give you one quick thing here, but there were some factors that drove last week's rally. And this comes from one of our researchers. I'm going to say it to you, but here's what one of our research sources had to say. Stocks rallied this week due to a decline in interest rates, a lack of treasury auctions due to the absence of global or central banks as buyers of bonds, and decreased global liquidity levels. So that particular expert said this is not likely to replicate itself. So don't go looking for this as a sign the market is suddenly going to spring into life. So, but it's a positive nonetheless. And but obviously, banks make money with arbitrage. They get money at a low interest rate, and they loan it out at a higher interest rate. That's what they do. If they're making mortgage loans, obviously, if they have access to federal funds at 3%, and they loan the money out at 6%, that's how they make their living. Now, if they're making loans, and those loans are generally backed by real estate or backed by something, but think of it this way. And I lived through the 1986 debacle, where the bank system did fail, and it was the largest redistribution of wealth in U.S. history. What happened is the federal government changed the tax law, and they reeled in some of the tax breaks that were actually pretty out there. I can remember one client coming to me and saying he was making some investments in something called Jackie Fine Arts and Michael's Leasing. Both of them, after the tax law change, went down the drain, and suddenly he lost hundreds of thousands of dollars that he had put into those investments. I had actually looked at them before we put them in, and I said, these are tax dodges, these are not investments, and if the tax law would ever change, you're going to get your head handed to you on a platter with an apple in your mouth. And unfortunately, that's what happens. So what happens is that in the financial system, and you're right, if you went to the bank, first of all, they don't have that much cash anymore. A lot of what they do is done electronically. So if you go to the bank and you ask for $30,000 in cash to buy a car, you may not get it. They may not have enough cash on hand to give you that kind of money. So if there is a run on the bank where all of the investors come in, or all the customers come in, like we saw in California recently, if suddenly all the customers of the bank show up at the front window or front door on Monday morning, all looking for their money, that's going to be a problem, because the banks do not carry that kind of cash. So a lot of what happens in our financial system happens on the basis of trust and yes. and people, you know, being moral about the way they approach their money. I remember James Carville back, I think it when William Clinton was running for office, and his statement was, "It's the economy, stupid, not morality." Well, we've learned over the past few years that it is morality, stupid, because mm-hmm. that impacts the economy. We're seeing mm-hmm. a lot of people these days that are scammers, that are stealing yep. from people. That has a tremendous impact on our economic system, and even on our form of government, which our founding fathers would tell you that the only way our government works is if you have a moral people, a God-fearing mm-hmm. moral people. Otherwise, in a democracy, all of the people could just demand money from the government and bankrupt it. So mm-hmm. we really have to think about what we're doing these days. And thinking is, as always, is in short supply. So I remember one famous author that said, most people never think in their entire lifetimes. He said, "I have made an international reputation by thinking once a year." So let's talk about some ways of approaching the market. You know, right now, for example, if stock prices are up, yields are low. And I've actually heard some investors or some pundits out there saying, "Well, we don't want to buy XYZ stock right now. Their dividend is only 2% or 3%. We want larger yields than that." Well, that's fine if you need larger yields. There's ways of getting them. But usually with larger yields comes increasing volatility. Not necessarily risk. You probably, unless you know your broker is named Madoff or something like that, you're probably not going to have a lot of risk if you invest reasonably in the market. If you buy good companies, the chances of them going out of business, at least in mass, it's probably pretty slim. But you're going to have volatility in the market for all the reasons that we just talked about. The market is either euphoric or it's got a bad case of bipolar. It is bipolar. It's up. It's either euphoric or it's incredibly depressed. So, and not too much happens in between. But if you have a stock strategy that takes into account the fact that even when the market is down, good companies are exceeding their earnings reports, exceeding expectations, paying dividends to their shareholders, and increasing those dividends on a regular basis. If you invest in that way, you're going to have something to brag about or to feel good about in the short term when you're getting your dividends and you're using them. If you're in the period of your life where you're preparing for retirement, then you're going to be reinvesting your dividends and building your stock portfolio for the future. But if you're in the time of life where you're going to start to draw from your investments, well, then we're going to be looking to draw from the dividends, not take from principal to take care of your retirement or to fund your retirement. That's a good way to run out of money. So we don't want to do that. So, for example, one of the I'm just going to call it the golden arches. Those of you who are old enough know what I'm talking about. It wasn't a shoe company. No. But the dividend growth for the golden arches has increased from 3% in 2008. If you had that same money invested, your yield would be about 10% today because the dividend has gone up from $1.50 to over $5 a share. So that means on a $100,000 holding, your income went up from $3,000 a year to $10,000 a year and still increasing. Dividend
Do you
growth
have from- that chart that you like to show your clients about the dividends? Do you have that chart at all?
Yeah, I don't like to show it on the air, though, because gotcha. I don't want to do anything to get the regulators excited in a gotcha. Negative way. So and there are no guarantees. You know, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Although if we drafted a guy to play for the Diamondbacks and he had never hit a baseball in his life, I would be a little concerned about giving them, you know, $20 million a year to start.
Yeah.
So past performance is an indicator of what the future could look like, but it is no guarantee. And in the market, we have to give you that disclosure. So I'm a little careful about that. But with these numbers came off that chart. And basically, there's a company that's actually increased their dividends on average by 25% per year over the last 20 years. Well,
that's incredible.
That means a 25% increase in dividends over 20 years, the income could go from $2,000 a year to over $170,000 a year. So again, that's could happen, not will happen. Again, past performance, no guarantee of future results. But when we're looking at an investment strategy, I have to look at it from something that is likely to work in the future. If it's never worked mm-hmm. in the past, I have a hard time believing it's going to work in the future. But if it has performed in the past to that level, I can believe that it is possible that that could happen again. I'm probably not going to bet the farm on it, but I'm going to use those types of investments in our portfolio because I think we have a better chance of doing what we need to do to have experience the retirement that we would like to experience. So if we're doing growth stocks, and we do some growth portfolios, we like what's called a positive quant rating. Now, what the heck is a quant rating? Well, it's actually a financial rating that's based on value, price of the stock, on growth of the company, momentum, profitability, and earnings per share revisions in the future. In other words, is the future looking bright, or have they just made a merger or taken on some debt that makes the future look, the dark clouds are coming over. So stocks with a positive quant rating generally do very, very well. In other words, we're looking for solid companies at a good price that have momentum going on, growth, they're profitable. That's what we're looking for when we're doing growth stocks. We're not looking for the latest idea and jump in just based on, interstellar batteries with kryptonite in them or something like that. we don't do that type of thing. So
In
my notes here, I gave an illustration, and I'm not sure why I did it, but let's find out. It's kind of fun. For me personally, I get seasick. I can pop Dramamine. In fact, the last time we went fishing in Mexico, I took three Dramamine, one the night before, two the morning of, and even wore the electronic wrist thingy that's supposed to, keep you from getting seasick. I stared at the horizon. For me, it doesn't matter. Within 40 minutes on an anchored boat in the ocean fishing, I am chumming the fish.
Poor thing.
So some of us cannot stomach the market is where I'm going
right
here. And if you're one of those that cannot stomach the market, we have a second way to invest for increasing retirement income. And this second way uses annuities that have no risk to principal. The interest rate is linked to the growth of the stock market. They also take into account actuarial science, kind of like that is used in the Social Security system. In the Social Security system, when it comes to retirement, the system rewards longevity. Those that die earlier tend to fund those that live longer because it's based on a risk pool. So we like using this in conjunction with the market because we think that when the market is doing crazy things, it's always good to have a portion of your portfolio that is staunch, that is just steady eddy, doing nothing crazy, something that you look at and just can hold on to and say, okay, this is secure. I'm happy with this. I'm not happy with Mr. Market right now, but I'm happy with my annuities. And one of the best things that happens in annuities is when the markets go down 20% and people look at their annuity balance and it didn't drop one iota, they are incredibly happy.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break.
Do you love coffee? Well, you're not alone. Over 150 million Americans drink more than 400 million cups of coffee each day. But does your coffee love you as much as you love it? According to the University of Santa Maria in Brazil, the average coffee today contains up to 117 pesticides and over 30 mycotoxins. And long-term pesticide and toxin exposure has been linked to many health issues such as Parkinson's, asthma, depression, anxiety, ADD, ADHD, cancer, and more. So perhaps the problem is in your cup of coffee. But don't worry, Java Boost Coffee is here to help. With Triple Lab tested organic coffee, coconut cream, ginger, turmeric, and the newly discovered muscadine grape with over 100 antioxidants, and better still, no pesticides, mycotoxins, there's no roasting, brewing, grinding, measuring, or even sweetening. Java Boost Coffee reduces hunger and cravings, stabilizes blood sugar, and promotes mental energy and clarity. Just add a scoop of Java Boost to hot or cold water, and you're ready to enjoy the delicious cup of gourmet, healthy coffee for less than $2. How much are you paying for your unhealthy 117 pesticide and mycotoxin coffee? Look, we all love to drink coffee. Let's drink coffee that loves us back. Let's drink Java Boost Coffee. Simply go to cuppahealth.com today. That's cuppahealth.com. Be sure to use the promo code AMBER and save 20%. You can even order a single sample of Java Boost Coffee for just $1 and try it before you buy it. Just go to cuppahealth.com and use the promo code AMBER and save 20% today.
Dr. Artis, and you're watching me live on the Amber May Show. Stay tuned.
I'm excited to announce that we're bringing back our best offer ever on our original My Slippers. You save $90 a pair with your promo code. And now My Slippers come in even more sizes. Smaller sizes, larger sizes, wide sizes, and all new styles and colors. Get them for your friends, your family, your neighbors, everyone you know. What makes My Slippers different is my exclusive four-layer design that you're not going to find in any other slippers. My Slippers' patented layers make them ultra comfortable, extremely durable, and they help relieve stress on your feet. I'm so confident that you and everyone you know are going to love My Slippers that I'm extending my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2024, making them the best Christmas gifts ever. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen now. Use your promo code to save $90. That's only $49.98 a pair. Quantities won't last long, so please order now.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
So with us right now, with the market doing what the market is doing, what it's doing right now, and the warnings of banking collapse and oncoming digital currency and so forth, you know, we've lived through those things as a nation before. We have had banking collapse in 1929, for example, huge collapse. And very honestly, some of the people that were going to jump out of windows in 1929 did not do so because they found that they had cash. And you know where they had it? I'll bet you know, Amber.
In their life insurance policy.
In their life insurance policies, in those horrible life insurance policies that some of the gurus today like to slam bam around. We don't, because some of those policies properly done are the best long-term uses of your money you will ever see. So smart investors use tools that work well in up and down markets. There's only one way to win in those markets, and that's to have a strategy in which you believe and you can stick with. Those who try to scare you or distract you will line their own pockets at the expense of yours, because the man with no plan is always prey to the man with a plan. And that's what a lot of these guys have. So I want to close on one thing. And I think I'm not sure how we're doing on time here, but I want everybody to remember the 100-man story. And here's the 100-man story. Out of 100 people starting off in the workplace, only one at age 65 will be independently wealthy. Four will be financially secure. Five will continue to work, not because they want to, but because they have to. 36 will be dead, and the remaining 54 will be dead broke, dependent on meager Social Security benefits or relatives or friends or even charity for a minimum standard of living. It's a sad state, but statistics tell us that 75% of Americans manage their own finances with no help from a professional or even an online service. And only one out of four people in America have any kind of a plan at all. And I think that's why we're seeing the 100-man story, which, by the way, when I started in the business a couple of hundred years ago, I saw the current version of that story. The only difference was there was about five people out of 100 that were going to be financially secure. And the rest of the numbers were basically the same. Those numbers have not changed in all the years that I've been in the business, despite all of the gurus, all of the stockbrokers, all of the insurance guys, all the investment salesmen running around the landscape. Those numbers have not changed. So something tells me that what we're doing is not working. And I think the only way that things are going to change is that for people to sit down, establish a plan, get involved in their planning, and begin to learn what finances are all about, and then make your decisions in the context of a good financial plan. We're always going to have threats of the banking system going down, the economy going down, the currency changing. We've been through that before, but as a people, we've managed to survive it. I'm hoping that we can continue to do that in America today, because we still have that taste of freedom. We have an ability in this country to step outside of the average and try to make a better life for ourselves. And as long as we have that, we've got something that few other countries in the world have. And in that environment, there's a lot of positive things to be said. Go ahead.
I want to talk to you just a minute about the variable annuity, because there's different types of annuities, and you do not sell variable annuities to your clients. Why is that?
Well, I gave up my license to do that years ago when I became independent, and that part of the licensing, I was happy to give up. And the reason for it, there's a very famous financial manager that has said, I'd rather die and go to hell than sell an annuity. And I think the annuities that he was talking about was variable annuities. And the reason that I don't trust them for people is that, first of all, they're pretty high in fees. They can be up in the 3.5% range in fees, which means, and secondly, the growth is directly linked to the growth of the stock market. The accounts inside of the annuities are called the investment accounts. So they're not called mutual funds, but they act a lot like the market. They just basically fluctuate with the market. So when the market is down and you're taking a 3 or 3.5% fee out of your portfolio, that's pretty tough. It's hard to make money that way. So it's been my experience over the years that people who have invested in variable life or variable annuities really shouldn't be there. They are a place for people that have incredible amounts of money who want to invest in the market and see their money grow on a tax-deferred basis. If you do that, if you are in that position, if you're a big boy and you want to do it, great. But for a lot of people who don't have a lot of money or who are looking at their life insurance as protection for their families, I think the idea of mixing protection with uncertainty just does not work well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like index annuities myself, just like you do. I think those are great. And the bonus just... So here's the thing, what you get with an annuity that's a little different also than what you would get with a stock market. And I'm not saying don't do stock market. Don't hear me say that, because that's not what I'm saying. I think you could do, if you can do both, do both. If you can do the stock market and do the dividend producing, income producing stocks, do that. And then if you could do the annuity, then you have another additional stream of income, because also annuities oftentimes have long-term care protection built in. And right. Some of them, when you're, go ahead.
They're going to pay that income. A good income annuity is going to pay that income for as long as you are alive, you or your spouse, if you link the income to both of you. So it's to me, it's a lot like doing a pension plan or having a personal pension plan. And I know there are some comparisons that are not to be made here, but in an annuity like that, you know, for what people like about pension plans is they know that they're going to get an income for the rest of their life. They like mm-hmm. that. That's a good idea. They know for as long as they live that pension assuming that the company stays in business, mm-hmm. that pension is going to be there for as long as they're alive. The same thing can be true of a annuity, an annuity, an indexed annuity, where the growth of the annuity is linked to the growth of the stock market without the stock market risk. But in those annuities, they use actuarial science. In other words, those who die young tend to fund the income for those who live a long time. So when it comes to planning, and Amber, you know this in our business, when we're trying to plan for people, we're trying to give them an idea of what their income, their predictable stream of income could be in retirement. And we don't want to take the chance that they're going to run out of money in their retirement. We want that income guaranteed for as long as they're alive. Now, the nice thing about doing it in annuities is that either in some annuities, you can guarantee that the income amount is going to grow over the years by some percentage, or you can have a situation where the growth of the income is not guaranteed, but the income will increase in every year that the annuity earns some interest. So you can have a predictable stream of increasing income that you and your spouse cannot outlive. And that's a great retirement planning tool. So,
and it can help with long-term care planning as well, because oftentimes annuities will come with long-term care protection. So they'll increase your amount of income if you need long-term care services, correct?
Yep.
Well,
how are we doing on time here? It seems like we might even have a little time left, do we?
If people want to get in touch with you, how do they reach out to you?
Well, they can go to our website. Great. Thank you for letting us put in a little commercial. Go to our website, epswealthmanagement.com. Or I think if you type in, I love EPS, like Edward Paul Sam, you can get to the website that way as well. Or you can call our office, 623-537-3657. Or 1-800-4-TWALT to spell out my last name on the keyboard. That'll get you here. We have an 800 number for those of you who are out of state or out state. If you call us, we will, if you will invest an hour of your time in your financial future, we'll invest an hour of our time with you. We will give you a no cost, no obligation consultation where you can ask questions. We can take a look at what you're doing. And we'll take a look at your risk tolerance and compare it to what you're doing and show you if what you are doing is likely to have a positive result for you. In a lot of the brokerage industry, a lot of in the financial services industry, they do what they call Monte Carlo simulations. In other words, they run computer programs that says based on 1,000 different outcomes with the market, if this happens, your retirement could look like that. If that happens, your retirement could look like this. And oftentimes, if they get a 76% positive response, they're pretty happy with that. Now, I've said to people, if I was going to have surgery tomorrow, and let's say I was going to have open heart surgery, and the doctor said, good news, Jim, you got a 24% chance of not coming off the table. But it's a 76% chance that you will. I think I'd be looking for another doctor or maybe another way of dealing with the heart problem. So I like strategies where based on past results, we can anticipate that there will be a predictable stream of future increasing income for your retirement. I think that's the best possible way to plan for retirement. It's the way that we're comfortable doing. And we just want to invite you. We don't want you to be one of the 54% or 80-some percent people in the 100-man story that are either dead or dead broke. Well, great, Amber. Thanks for inviting. It's always fun to talk with you. You've got great questions, and you get your listening audience to think and to wake up. That's what we need in America today.